You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that is not compatible with your PlayStation VR headset. Not that you would want to be in the room anyway. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over. But first, let's talk about a few things we've been checking out.
We don't have as much. Maybe we'll go first.
Yeah, you guys go first because I can pad with whatever time needs because I did some things. But first, you guys go.
Let's see. A couple weeks ago, we went to, it was maybe almost a month now. Yeah,
it's been a while.
But you haven't been on the show in a while. And we went to Cat Video Fest at the Gateway in Columbus.
I remember seeing something about that. Well, you sent me the thing about that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, couldn't make it that day. But, yeah, how was it?
It was fun. There was cats there.
I would hope so.
Yeah, at least three cats.
A lot of cat headbands, cat ear headbands.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
At least two different cat adoption agencies had booths in the Gateway lobby.
Okay.
And you could pet a couple cats and get information about adopting cats.
Okay, cool.
Which is cool. All the proceeds went to help cat adoption agencies anyway, so.
Help your local kitties.
Yeah.
So were there any standout cat videos that you guys saw? Because that's like the draw, right?
Yeah. It was about an hour and a half of just different curated cat videos from the internet.
Okay.
My favorite one is there was a door with one of those twanging door stoppers on it,
mm-hmm.
and this cat was just reaching under the door from the other side and would purposely pull the twanging door stopper, and it just kept doing it and doing it.
She said that he woke her up every morning.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Now, this was like just videos submitted. It wasn't like meme cats or anything like that. There's no keyboard cat.
No, there wasn't a keyboard cat. There was a little bit of Little Bub, and he's kind of a meme cat.
Yeah, so Little Bub is kind of...
He was there.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't there. That'd be
oh,
so
man,
cool.
Oh, man, that would be great. Bonafide cat celebrity if Little Bub was there.
But they had clips of Little Bub.
Yeah.
They were like organized into different genres, like drama and comedy.
Genre of cat video.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess I would be a subgenre of cat video.
Celebrity cat.
Yeah.
Internet celebrity cat.
Oh, wow.
No grumpy cat.
No. Well, I mean, I'm okay with that.
He'd just bring the mood down.
Yeah.
Or she would bring the mood down.
Yeah.
It was just long enough.
Okay. That's good.
By the time it got to the end, I'm like, okay, yep. It's a lot of cats. I'm good.
I was going to say, good. That seems like a lot of the same thing over and over.
It really was. It was funny when the end came up, the audience, a lot of people in the audience went, oh, but I'm like, no, that was about right.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
It.
Now, was this something that was put on by Columbus organizations, or is it like a traveling
thing? It's a traveling thing.
Oh, okay. All right. Right on.
There's just a cat video fest company or something.
Okay.
But the proceeds went to local cat organizations. I think the Gateway had a part in putting it together.
Yeah. But that's cool. That's really cool.
It was definitely worth it. It was worth the trip. It was fun.
Yeah. It's always fun going down there to Gateway. They always have awesome stuff going on. It's just a little bit of a drive.
Yeah. It's a cool theater.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I finally got around to playing the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Oh, yeah. How is it?
It is very good, and it was a huge mistake for me to wait this long to get into it. Because I think I didn't buy it because I bought Anthem.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's
a mistake.
Yeah, that was not a great choice, but it'll get better, probably.
Hey, I have a game that I'm going to be saying basically the same thing here in just a few minutes.
And it's not like the core gameplay of Anthem is bad. That's fine.
Yeah,
it's just everything around it could be so much better.
Yeah. But RE2 remake is good?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's Resident Evil,
yeah.
For one. And it's so good to play a game like that again that has those kind of adventure gamey mechanics built into it. Like, I'm so here for the emblem puzzles and the
keys,
weird keys.
Statues.
Yeah.
Have you been chased by Mr. X yet?
Oh, yes, yeah. He's the worst. He actually kind of overstays his welcome to the point, like, it's like, why? You're still
just
here?
Go away.
Let me do these puzzles. There was a puzzle where I had to, what was it? It was barely a puzzle, where I had to push some bookshelves around to make a bridge. And I kept trying to push him, and then he would show up. It's like, leave me alone. Just let me do this.
Would it surprise you if I said that there is a mod for the PC port of this that...
No, because I already know about it.
Puts in X gonna give it to you when
whenever
Mr.
he
X shows up. Yeah.
It's so funny. I've watched video of it. Makes me wish I had a PC that could run the PC version.
Yeah.
The graphics are really good. Mm-hmm. And the characters look realistic without being Uncanny Valley. The zombies are surprisingly hardy, too. They take a lot of bullets. Oh, yeah.
That's what I've heard. There is like a finite amount of bullets in the game.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like,
you have to really
ration it out. Yeah.
Which a good Resident Evil should be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely
so choices, you know, attack or run.
Yeah. It definitely is a callback to its survival horror roots, but 7 was like that too. But it was first person.
So do you see any of the other games in the series getting the reboot treatment like this?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Which one do you hope they do next?
Honestly, I haven't really played 3 hardly at all. So okay. If they just went and did 3, that'd be cool.
I haven't really played it. Yeah.
And I'm sure they will because this one sold like gangbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Deservedly so.
Yeah, yeah.
They call back to the old gameplay without making it feel...
Dated,
yeah. Even though you do have to... It took me a while to remember. You got to save all the time, bud. Because I'm so used to modern games just auto-saving for me every time I go in a different room. This doesn't do that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You got to save like an old game, which, I mean...
Yeah, something as simple as that sounds like, whatever. But yeah, when you're not thinking about it, when you're conditioned at this point to not think about saving.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
But yeah, I have no real complaints on it at all. I really enjoy it. I did finish the new Far Cry couple weeks ago, and I continuously forgot to talk about it on here.
Well, then, hey, we have plenty of time. Let's go for it.
It's good. Like, the gameplay is fun and Far Cry, but the ending was
bizarre.
Yeah, it just was like kind of nothing, which is a complete 180 from the last game where the ending was like, what? Like, that a lot of people didn't like that ending. Mm-hmm. Which I can see where they're coming from, but at least it made you feel something.
Ah, okay.
This one, just like, people die, and then it's like, okay, world's open, story's done.
Huh.
So it was kind of a letdown in that regard.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But it's also only a $40 game, so it's definitely like, the price is right.
Yeah.
And there's a whole base building mechanic where you have a home base, and as you go out and collect resources and come back, you can upgrade the different facilities in it, like upgrade the weapons bench so you can craft higher tier weapons, or upgrade the garden so you can grow herbs better, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The plot just kind of stinks.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a shame because I was kind of invested in those characters from the previous game, and most of them are gone anyway. But if you need a dumb shooter, like, it doesn't, that's a pretty good dumb shooter.
A pet wild pig boar thing.
Yeah. Or a pet wolf dog that rides in a sidecar of your motorcycle.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I got on the motorcycle with him. I'm like, is he going to get in the sidecar? I'm going to love this if he gets in the sidecar, and then he hops in there. I'm like, this is perfect.
You know what you want.
And there's a character who's mute, who is supposedly the main character from the previous game that was locked in the bunker with Joseph Seed, the cult leader guy.
Mm-hmm.
So your character is in the game along with you play as a different character. It's kind of cool.
Oh,
how
that
they
is
kind of
cool. Yeah, interesting.
He wears like a hockey mask kind of thing and had his tongue cut out. So he doesn't talk and you can't see their face.
Oh,
so
well.
So it doesn't stomp on whatever character you created from your game.
Right, yeah. No, that's an interesting way of doing it. Sure.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a solid 7.
Okay, cool. Well, you know what? You talked about a game that was okay, so I'm going to talk about a game that's just kind of okay.
That might be being generous, honestly.
Well, you know what? It's going to be okay. So... Last week...
I don't have as much tied into the franchise as you do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true.
I'm not as invested.
Yeah. So, okay, we're burying the lead. So last week, a game came out called
Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy VII. It's a classic. It's 20 some odd years old. It's 7 out of 10. Final Fantasy 7 out of 10. No. So that is one of the things that I kind of checked out a little bit. And that port it's fine. It's the Steam. It's the PC version. So they had some bug fixes from the original PSX version of the game.
Can you change your stat points?
I have not delved that deep into it. I wonder if you could, because that's...
One of the features of the Steam version is you can make it super easy by maxing out your stat points. Just
if you just want to see the story and not worry about grinding.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. For a game that's that big and that culturally relevant, I kind of understand why they would do something like that.
Yeah. I wouldn't mess with it personally, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't either, but... I could see some people who just want to blow through it and be like, no, give me all those sweet FMVs.
Yeah, now I know Sephiroth's deal.
Yeah.
Back to Kingdom Hearts.
Yep. But no, the game I was going to talk about was Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, which is both a Power Rangers game and a fighting game. So you would think I am the easiest of marks for that.
Yeah, it ticks both your boxes.
You'd be correct. So this has had kind of a really kind of rushed back history. The game was announced like less than a couple months ago. And a few days ago, like the game's been out less than a week. And like maybe a week ago, they said on Twitter, oh, hey, by the way, Steam and Xbox coming out in 2 days. And PlayStation's coming out a week after that. And PC sometime in the summer. We're just dropping it early out of the blue. No lead up or anything. There was a little bit of a demo. There wasn't a demo. It was a little bit of like online gameplay, that sort of thing. And people were really confused about it because they're like, man, this seems early.
And also it looks like that existing phone game.
There's a reason why it is developed by a company called Enway, who has never developed a console game before. They are almost strictly a phone game developer. And they developed the Power Rangers phone game, and they ripped the models and put some new skins on them, basically.
It's like if the Candy Crush people made a PlayStation 4 game.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of. So they dropped it early, and it's very clear that the game is incomplete. The roster only has 9 playable characters, which sounds like a lot. However, this particular type of fighting game is a 3v3 tag team style, like a Capcom versus Marvel 2 or 3 or King of Fighters style. Yeah, so when you only have 9 players and each opponent is picking 3 out of those 9, you're going to see a million repeats over and over and over again.
Also, a lot of the characters in the franchise look exactly the same but are different colors.
That's kind of the point.
So you wouldn't think it would be that hard to put more characters in it?
You wouldn't think, but... They do different things. They have different weapons. It is heavily weapon based.
I'm not dragging it for that. Mortal Kombat does it.
Sure,
it's always done it. It's been a major feature of Mortal Kombat since its inception.
Sure. But so I picked it up, and it is only $20. So yeah, mark in the win column there for $20.
That seems reasonable. That seems reasonable. For what it is.
They've released 9 characters. There's going to be. In the season 1 DLC pass, there's going to be 3 more characters and 1 more of the ultra attacks, the Zords.
The Zords, which are not terribly impressive.
They're not. They're kind of an afterthought. The gameplay, it's fine. I think in another 6 months with some bug testing and a few patches, it's going to be solidly okay.
It could stand to feel a lot smoother.
It feels very clunky right now. Yeah. It is interesting that there's no, like, it's not a standard, like, Street Fighter type, you know, special move, like, you know, stick movement as well as...
Yeah, it kind of has a Smash Brothers.
It's kind of has a Smash Brothers thing. The big draw is the tag mechanic where you can tag out at any time, like, mid-combo and, like, continue combo strings with other characters on your team. If you get really good, you can do, like, I've seen someone do, like, a 25 or 26 hit,
oh my God,
like, combo stream. That's really cool. And... to their credit, they did pull in for this first roster a lot of characters that they're not just Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. They're not just first season. You have the Red and Green Ranger because you gotta. And one of the other characters, the alternate skin is the Pink Ranger. Although the default skin actually is a lot better. And it's a character from the comics. There's actually a couple characters from the comics.
It's cool that they pull from those comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the majority of the cast are from other seasons, which is cool. And from what I understand, the DLC for season one is going to be from other seasons, non-Mighty Morphin seasons.
You should just get Kamen Rider in there, blow everybody's mind.
Oh, you mean Masked Rider?
Yeah.
Yeah, from that one season that they tried to do Masked Rider. Oh, that show was awful.
Or the Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Big Bad Beetleborgs. VR Trooper.
VR Troopers.
Uh-huh. You know, if they want to get outside the license, they can do some tattooed teenage alien fighters from Beverly Hills. Because that's a show that existed.
And it totally sounds like something you just made up right now.
It
but
does.
You didn't.
It does. Well, I didn't stutter through it. It means it's a real thing. Also, Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. Yeah.
That needs a go at the end of it.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Maybe they'll make that and it'll be like Teen Titans.
But you know what? That one's an Ultraman. That one's actually a riff on an Ultraman. Plus, fun fact, Tim Curry was the voice of the bad guy.
That always makes whatever you're doing 10 times better.
It does. It does. Well, it does kind of cancel out because the main kid that turns into the titular samurai, Cyber Squad samurai, was Joey Lawrence's brother. The middle one, the one that was on Boy Meets World as like the main best friend's brother that showed up halfway through season 5.
Not the boy who meets the world.
Not the boy that meets the world. Anyway, this game, it is clunky. It doesn't feel 100% right, but there are some good ideas there. There's some good things there.
It is chunky, and things feel a bit funky. That's my review.
Yeah, but I honestly think that in a couple of patches, it's going to be a solid game.
It's definitely salvageable.
Yeah, and it was never going to be like a top tier like
Street Fighter
or Blaze Blue or anything like that.
Right now, it feels like Clay Fighter, and it could be Primal Rage.
Well, you know what? I actually heard someone describe it this way. So Evo is the big fighting game convention tournament thing. And they always have the big, like they pick 9 or 8 or 9 different main games for the main stage. And those are the huge tournament. That's the huge things that, you know, everyone shows up for. What people don't know is when the top tier players are not, they've either been knocked out of the brackets or they're not playing. They're usually off on the side doing things called money matches, which are basically you're betting on playing like lesser games. Like one year, there's a whole side bracket about Super Nintendo Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fighting game.
The Tournament Fighters.
There's a whole Tournament Fighters bracket that was unofficial. This game feels like it's going to be top tier money match side tournament at Evo. Because it does have some really interesting mechanics to
it. It's Turtles the Fighters and not Dong Dong Never Die.
Now, Dong Dong Never Die is great. I don't care what you say. That game is amazing.
I was watching Salty Bet on Twitch the other day. That's so great.
Oh, it is.
It's just somebody takes Mugen, which is the fighting game character maker engine, and they randomly determine fights between characters people made.
Yeah.
So you can get weird stuff like Evangelion Unit 1 versus Ronald McDonald.
Oh, yeah. And people purposely make them super broken because Mugen is a very flawed game creator. So you get these like crazy, like, it's fun. It's a lot of fun to watch.
What good ones did we? Did we get any good ones?
Evangelion 1?
Yeah.
What move was that?
It could do the third. The only thing it could do was the third impact.
Oh, geez.
Which is Armageddon. It would take it forever to do it. But if it did pull it off, it would just automatically win.
One time it just missed.
Yeah, one time it somehow missed.
Even though it like shows like the entire like planet like.
Yeah.
A lot of times you get somebody's anime waifus that I have no idea who they are.
You get a lot of those. Okay, so the last thing I'm going to say about the Battle for the Grid game, if you do get this game, and it's $20, if you have $20 lying around, pick it up. Don't go online with it quite yet, because there is a bug that prevents you from doing low blocking and overhead, like upward jump blocking. That doesn't work. So
you can low kick your way to victory.
You can low kick your way to victory with this game online only currently. Hopefully the patch will come out soon, and it'll be better. But right now, it's a little janky and busted online. Moving on from that, the other major thing I did was I finally got a chance to sit down and watch Ready Player One, the movie. And oh boy, you guys.
Not a fan?
I am not a fan of that movie. I think that it had some interesting ideas, and I think presented differently, maybe without all of the pop culture references being crammed down your throat, if they were to use... Like, if they were to create their own, like, fake stand-ins for pop culture references.
Or just had less of
Or just less of them, yeah. Like, the final fight and on that weird death planet thing was, like, a mess.
But there's stuff I did like the fact that they had to play Adventure on the Atari and find that Easter egg.
Some of that is kind of
neat. I liked that.
That's neat. That was a little heavy-handed, but it was kind of neat. If they would have leaned a little heavier into the Willy Wonka aspect of it and less into, hey, look, this is a guy that looks like Bishamon from Darkstalkers who jumps out of the back of Serenity and turns into a Gundam to stab the
Tracer.
Mechagodzilla. While Tracer's there for some reason, these are not things I'm making up. This is an actual scene in the movie. If they had less of that, I would be into it. Plus, I kind of hated... No, I didn't kind of hate. I really hated the lead character.
Yeah, he's not great.
No, both the character and the actor. Yeah. I am not a fan of either one.
Well, he still has the stink of the book on him.
He does have the stink of the book on him. He also has the stink of playing Cyclops in the X-Men movies. And there is, I defy you to find a single actor who has played Cyclops in some kind of media that is not looked at with disdain.
I don't know. Yeah. Can't do it.
That's a good review. Is anything that didn't have the stink of the book on it was good.
Was not good. Fine.
Fine.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. If it didn't have the book, and if it didn't have so many pop culture things crammed down your throat, like I did need a whole scene about him deciding he needed to dress up like Buckaroo Banzai to go to a dance or something.
I didn't need them to bring up The Shining, an infinitely better movie inside of their third movie.
Listen, if the Mystery Science Theater episode Overdrawn at the Memory Banks has taught me anything, don't talk about a better movie inside your crappy movie. Because if Overdrawn at the Memory Banks was the one where Raul Julia kept showing up inside Casablanca, even though he was like in the future or something like that. Actually, kind of a similar situation, I guess, now that I'm thinking about it. But
it's The Shining, but we can't show Jack Torrance's face.
Yep. Oh, no. Like, not...
There's a million other horror movies they could have and should have used for that one.
Mm-hmm.
The Shining is a little too heady and a little too the best horror movie ever made.
Well, that wasn't in the book at all. The book version was... The main character was placed into the role of Matthew Broderick in the movie War Games, and he had to act out that movie in its entirety perfectly.
Which is infinitely worse than what they did in the movie.
Oh, that would be unwatchable.
Yeah.
It would be
Ferris Bueller stuff would have been unwatchable, too, that's in the book.
There's a lot of things in the book that would have been unwatchable. I mean, this is the best of a bad situation, but it's still not good.
I'll give it... It's way, way better than I thought it was going to be.
We had pretty low
I thought it was going to be unwatchable. And I thought it was going to be the War Games part of the book. I thought it was going to be an unwatchable trash fire. And it was just,
If I would have seen this in theaters, I would have been upset when I left.
Oh, I wouldn't have been thrilled.
Like, I got this out of Redbox for free. I had a free rental. And I still think I paid too much.
Yeah, I didn't pay for it either when I saw it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, had I paid money, it wouldn't have been
great. Yeah. I mean, listen, I love bad movies. I willingly watched the Meg, for crying out loud. The one with Jason Statham where he fights a shark. And I'm telling you, this one's terrible.
Oh, no. I had someone ask me for that at work.
Like, oh, yeah?
They didn't know what it was called. It's like, the one with the big old shark.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm like, the Meg.
They might as well have called it Big Old Shark. Don't watch Ready Player One.
Also, the Willy Wonka style character could have been...
Find my egg.
He could have been played by anyone. Like, it could have been played by anyone else better. Like, there's a lot more going on in that character than what we got out of I forgot who played him.
I don't know who played
him.
I don't know who played him.
Find my egg.
Yeah, I mean, the character in the book was at least a little more nuanced than, hey, this guy probably has autism.
Yeah. He's one of those Hollywood autism geniuses.
Yeah.
I would like to see a Hollywood movie portray someone who has autism and them not be a some kind of misunderstood genius also.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that movie exists somewhere, but we just haven't heard about it because it's not the Hollywood ideal of that type of character. Yeah. So it kind of gets pushed aside.
I got a quick review of the Elder Scrolls Blades that came out this morning.
Okay, yeah, we got about 2 minutes.
That's all I need.
Awesome.
Todd, let me play it. You can sign in, and then it says, to ensure a smooth experience for everyone, we are limiting access during the launch period. Make sure your notifications are turned on, and we'll let you know when you can play Blades.
Oh, man.
So, hey, Todd. Hey, Todd, can I play your game, Todd?
Todd Howard, the guy who made this.
Yeah.
Todd?
Todd Howard, can I play Blades now? Please?
We're going to check in next week and see if you've had a chance to play Blades.
See if Todd will let me play his game.
It's you put your quarter on the machine.
Yeah.
You get next go. You get next man. All right, so let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we get back, we'll talk about some news.
Todd, let me play your game.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 122 West Rensselaer Street in downtown Bucyrus, 567-806-5364, and online at subcultureoh.com.
Hey, we're back. That was Tom Sawyer by Rush.
Because I've got my 2-liter bottle of Shasta in my All Rush mixtape.
Yeah.
Was it Shasta?
I think it was Shasta. Yeah.
That was a Futurama reference, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Also, it was a reference. Do you get it?
Yeah.
I clapped when I saw the reference.
That's Ready Player One.
Ready Player One.
We played it because we just talked about it.
Because it's the 80s, and if Ready Player One taught me anything, it's that, hey, remember the 80s?
That's the other thing before I'm going to go on a tangent again.
Do it. Go for it.
The movie takes place in our future, and everyone is for some reason still nostalgic about the 80s,
mm-hmm.
which would now be like if you were nostalgic about like the 40s.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense for Tracer would be something you'd be nostalgic for in the time that movie takes place.
Kinda, I guess.
Not The Shining.
The Shining would be over 100 years old by the time, the setting of that movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, like...
And we don't get nostalgic about things that are 100 years old now because people that would get nostalgic about that are dead.
Also, I'm going to rant one more thing. In the final battle, the Iron Giant's there. What was the big point of the movie, The Iron Giant? That he's not a gun. And what does he do in this movie?
Just shoots a gun.
Shoots big old lasers all over the place.
That was the worst choice they could have made for that character. They should not have even put him in the film.
They should not have. He was originally Ultraman.
He should have continued to be Ultraman.
Tsuburaya would not let go of the rights for the movie.
Oh.
They had to replace him with someone else that's big that shoots lasers.
There's a million different options,
but instead they decided, hey, we have the rights to Iron Giant. He's a big robot that shoot gun. Let's put him in movie.
That could conceivably shoot gun.
Yeah.
Make it the Megazord. Make it, I don't.
Just anything.
Pacific Rim robot. I don't know.
Did the main character's friend, the big guy, surprise you for one, like trick you for 1 second when you find out that it's actually a girl?
No.
Yeah. From the second I saw that character came on screen, I was like, that is a voice changer. That is a voice modulator. It's fine, but like it wasn't, they play it like it's a huge reveal and like, nah.
Even if it wasn't obvious, I wouldn't have cared. Like, it wouldn't have, like, yeah, that's the thing.
No, I wouldn't have cared, but the fact that they made it, like, they did such a poor job hiding it.
Yeah.
If they wanted to really hide it, find someone else to do the voice of the character prior to the reveal, and then have the character play the real life character do the voice of that character for the remainder of the film.
But like,
that would have been cool.
But like, the whole like, somebody on the internet isn't the gender that you thought they were is like the most played out trope in regards to anything internet related in the world.
Yeah.
Let's talk about news.
Let's talk about some news. Let's talk about happy things.
They leaked the Star Wars poster, maybe.
They kind of did, perhaps.
I'm pretty sure this is it, though.
Yeah.
Because of C-3PO holding Chewbacca's bowcaster, which is so specifically weird that I don't think a fan would put that on the poster if they were trying to make a fake.
That is pretty great.
But I mean, it's a Star Wars poster. It's got all your favorite space friends on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else.
I mean,
it
doesn't have Kylo Ren on it, and it doesn't have Rose, which Kylo Ren, I can kind of understand, perhaps, especially if he's not going to be the main focus, like, of the film. I mean, it's clearly Rey is going to be the main focus of this last film. Rose seems like a cowardly move.
Yeah, to not put her on the poster.
Because she has become a main character, and yet, because of internet backlash from, I don't even want to call them fans.
Human trash.
People who have wrong opinions about films.
Yeah.
And women's place in films. Those people have basically made Disney not include this character on.
She's a ray of sunshine, and I will protect her with my life.
Yeah. She's a very good character, and yeah.
Who I would love for them to expand upon in this next film.
But I bet you they won't because of internet backlash.
And if James Gunn's firing and recent rehiring is any indication, Disney kind of apparently listens to that crap. So
yeah.
But then they backed away and actually rehired him, which is good, but it shouldn't have happened in the first place.
Yeah. But the poster's out there. If it's a fake, it's a very good fake.
Wait, what's the name of the movie?
There's no name of it.
There's
yet.
No name on it. No, it just says
it's the poster, but it doesn't have the logo stamped on it yet.
Star Wars. It's another star. Boy, am I tired of all these Star Wars is the name of the film.
I am starting to get Star Wars fatigue, certainly.
Yeah.
And while I enjoyed Rogue One, I think that this trilogy would have benefited from having a 2-year break between movies instead of just a 1-year break.
Yeah.
Because having a Star Wars every summer is exhausting.
Well, and Rogue One was so much better than the other two movies, honestly.
Rogue One was very good. I liked The Force Awakens.
Yeah, that's the first
that's
one.
That's number 7. Yeah. I liked The Force Awakens. I thought that one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a really good. I really liked it, too. And then I thought Last Jedi was
pretty
good.
Was okay. They really stumbled with Solo.
Yeah.
They monumentally stumbled with Solo. And I place a lot of that, well, a lot of it, on them firing Lord and Miller and changing, you know, you don't change horses midstream, even if that horse is Richie Cunningham. But
that was a really belabored metaphor, but I loved it.
Thank you. Thank you. I tried very hard. But the other thing that I kind of lay that at is the guy they cast to play Han Solo was just unlikable. Could not act.
Piece of cardboard.
He was.
Like a wet piece of cardboard.
They would have done a better job if they would have, like, just taken a cardboard cutout of Harrison Ford. Not even Han Solo. Just Harrison Ford.
From, like, Hollywood Homicide.
Yeah. Use some, like, peach paint and paint off the age lines and then just kind of carry him across the screen.
They could have been a cardboard mouth flap
on
there.
Yeah, just flapping it. Yeah.
They could have digitally manipulated anyone to look like him.
They
just do that.
Yeah. But I'm hoping this last one is good. I kind of hope that it...
It kind of has to be, or I'm almost done. Like,
I'm never going to be totally done with Star Wars. I'm kind of in for life, but I'm definitely less excited for it than I was Last Jedi currently. When it gets closer to time, the hype train's going to build. I'm going to be excited for it. But right now, I'm good for now.
Right now, I'd rather just watch Avengers Endgame.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm way more excited for that.
Which is nuts. If I had the choice between a new Star Wars and a comic book movie, I would go with a comic book movie, which doesn't sound like me at all.
No, but no, it actually doesn't, but it is, yeah. Speaking of which, Avengers 3, or the Avengers Endgame, whatever, is 3 hours long.
Which is probably too long.
It's a bit.
I'm an old man now, and the prospect of being in a movie theater for 3 hours of my time, my personal time, seems like a big ask.
Yeah. That's like, what is that? Like an eighth of a day?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll sit through it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely not going to get anything to drink during it unless they decide to put in an intermission.
Which, yeah, if movies are going to start being 3 hours long, maybe they should.
Yeah.
Put an intermission in there and sell me a t-shirt in the lobby.
Well, you
know. Why not?
Superhero movies are ostensibly for kids and all ages, although this one definitely doesn't look like it's going to be particularly kid-friendly.
Fun for the kids.
But superhero movies are for kids in general. And
I still can't believe they made kids watch Spider-Man turn into dust.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. Spoilers.
Yeah.
Hey.
If you haven't seen that at this point.
Yeah, you're going to, yeah. But, like, I don't know a little kid that will sit still for 3 hours. By the end of that movie, they're going to start getting antsy. And, like, that's not going to be a good time for anyone.
Yeah. You better hope your theater has one of those quiet rooms on the side.
I hope I'm wrong. And I absolutely am prepared to be wrong. But I think 3 hours might be a little too long for that movie. It's a little excessive.
I feel like the last Avengers movie was like 3 hours.
It was like 2.5,
240, 240 probably.
Something like that.
And it felt kind of long.
I would say Infinity War. Infinity War went by pretty quick for the 2 hours and 40 minutes that it was. I would say,
I'm thinking Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron felt like it was 5 days long.
Boy, as far as Marvel movies go, that might be the stinkiest one.
Between that and Incredible Hulk.
And it wasn't that bad, really, but it's the stinkiest one.
With these Marvel movies, like, the lowest you go is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, solid.
And Ultron barely made the baseline.
It is the baseline. Yeah. Why is that? Is it because Ultron is ultimately not an interesting character? Yeah, was it James Spader?
Maybe. I just did not care.
Yeah, I didn't care about.
On screen, I'm like, whatever.
I don't really like just James kill Spader. Him or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was Spader trying to do a Shatner impression at times.
It's like, just kill this Robert California robot already. That and Joss Whedon probably didn't help.
Yeah, the shine's kind of come off that apple a little bit. Anyway, let's talk about something else. You know what? Let's finish out these movie things because we have a bunch of game stuff to get to, but let's go ahead and finish out this last one. So there was a trailer for the Dora the Explorer live action film, which are words that I never thought I would say.
It's called Dora and the Lost City of Gold, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
They didn't even get the Explorer in there. I don't know.
I think they're trying to distance themselves a little bit from the show, because while the show is like, hey, let's learn things because you're two.
Yeah, the show is literally for babies.
This movie is actually, looks like it's a
kind of all ages
action adventure comedy type thing. I would liken it a lot to the first Spy Kids movie.
I was going
to
say Jumanji.
And basically the same thing.
Another studio said, get me one of those Jumanjis right now.
Yeah. And
what do we own? Dora the Explorer. She could go to a jungle.
Yeah. You know, the trailer looks fine.
Yeah, actually looks kind of fun.
I think Dora's sassy friend that constantly comments about how weird Dora is going to get old quick. But I hope that they just condensed all of those lines to the trailer and, like, it doesn't pop up anywhere else.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think it's a good interpretation of the character,
mm-hmm,
who honestly doesn't do a whole lot in the original show. She's just kind of there.
Stare at you with your dead eyes.
Yeah, stare at kids and, like, stand there and wait for them to respond.
Oh, man, I hope that is a point in this film.
Who are you talking to?
Or, like, they kind of tip their hat to it, like, she doesn't break the fourth wall, but there's a point where she, like, is just looking and staring at something, and someone, like, looks and goes,
What are you doing?
And what are you waiting for?
And he's like, oh, no, sorry. I'm trying to look at this map or something like that.
They should make it one of those Netflix interactive movies.
Oh, she's like, was it Bandersnatch or whatever? Do you think Netflix is going to do more of those?
They already did.
Oh,
the
did?
Bear Grylls survival one came out the other day where you choose whether Bear Grylls lives or dies.
I was going to say, does he get mauled?
Yeah. You are Bear Grylls' new god, and you get to decide whether he lives or dies.
That's all I ever wanted.
How much of his own urine he drank.
Listen, I know Bear Grylls is a man, but every time I hear the name, I think of, like, an actual bear with, like, actual grills.
A bear with, like, a Kiss the Cook Grill Dad apron on.
Oh, yeah. No, I was thinking more like the Lil Jon, like, teeth that are all blinged out. The grills.
Oh, bears with grills.
Bears with grills. Even more dangerous because the metal teeth.
Yeah.
It's like the bears are the traps. All right, that joke went nowhere. Let's go ahead and get into some games. Let's talk about game news.
Sony's doing this thing now called the PlayStation State of Play, where they release like a YouTube video or a Twitch live stream that tells you about all the new games coming out for the PlayStation.
Boy, that sounds familiar.
It's a completely original concept that Sony has come up with.
It original? It's not a Nintendo thing at all?
No, as a way to keep their fans informed on the latest and greatest new products.
Would you say that they send the video directly to you?
I mean, you could.
You could, yeah.
So, yeah, imagine a Nintendo Direct, but it's not fun. It's just trailers.
Yeah, so tell me about some of these games that were in this thing.
Let's see, there was a lot of PlayStation VR, so if you bought that headset,
you're going to be very happy.
Yeah, you're going to be in for a lot of headset time.
And if you didn't, your wallet's going to be real happy, so... But yeah, some of it looked kind of neat. The Iron Man VR game looked kind of fun, although the graphics didn't look spectacular.
It wasn't even gameplay.
Oh, it wasn't even gameplay.
No, none of that was gameplay.
Well, then what's the point?
So you can get excited about new products.
To start the hype train.
Yeah, you know what would make me excited for a product? Showing me the product.
I mean, just the thought of being Iron Man in VR is pretty rad.
That's a pretty cool idea.
It's going to be hard to mess this one up.
Yeah. But again, showing a trailer that is all non-gameplay things for the trailer kind of bothers me. It's like showing a movie where like they show a bunch of scenes and at the bottom they flash, none of this is in the movie. This is just for hype purposes. It's like, what's the point? Anyway, that's just my personal gripe. We can move on from that.
And they showed some new Crash Team Racing footage, which it continues to look like a fun and cool game. It's one of the best kart racer games that doesn't have Mario in it.
It did look pretty fun, considered.
If you get the PlayStation version, you get character models that look like the original PlayStation 1 versions, which that's a fun feature to have, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Which, that's the thing about these remasters they're doing for these old games. I wish they gave you some way to play the original game, too.
Oh, that would be cool.
Especially some of the like the ones I don't have any context for, because I don't think I ever played Spyro 3, and I don't think I ever played...
I played that one a lot.
I don't think I ever played Crash Bandicoot 3 all that much either, and like I would like some context of what the original was like compared to what the remaster is.
Sure. Well, I mean, there are ways.
You know, I mean, there are ways, but it should be easier.
I agree.
Like the Monkey Island remakes, you could just press a button and it...
Yeah, it switches from the original game to the remastered game right there on the spot.
Seamlessly.
Really? Oh, wow.
That's a cool feature.
That is pretty nice.
I'm not saying it necessarily has to do that, although that would be cool. You should be able to play the original game. There should be an option in the menu.
Especially since the original games are probably incredibly small in file size compared to the remastered version.
Yeah.
So, like, it would be like nothing.
It would just be a cool feature and give... Especially kids who have no idea that these are even remakes. Like, it would give them some context to what they're playing.
Hey, kids, do you think the new Crash Bandicoot is hard? Try it on the original setting. Yeah. Try it when you have to have, pixel-perfect jumping, or you slide off a side of a thing.
And everything looks like triangles.
Yeah. Are you able to stand on that platform? Who knows?
But that, I don't know. That's the video game preservationist inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. And as we kind of push towards digital and we start to lose backwards compatibility and also old hardware starts dying out, there is a definite threat that we're going to lose a lot of.
Or they start doing stuff like Google Stadia that we talked about last week, where you don't even have any code on your computer.
Yeah. It's a website. Google Stadia, it's a website. They add a bunch of flowery terminology to hide it, but what it is, you use it.
It's Twitch where you can push buttons and then it.
Yeah, that's basically it, and it sucks. We're being awful negative. Let's pick a game that we can be positive about.
Yeah, that Blood and Truth game looks kind of neat. In a, that's not exactly a. I don't know if we're going to be completely positive about this one.
Fun garbage.
Yeah, it looks like fun garbage. It's a VR game that looks like a Jason Statham movie.
Oh yeah, that's Jason Statham movie simulator.
Yeah. Which I'm all here for any VR games that have actual depth to them.
Sure.
Because too many of them are like tech demos, like, well, look at me, I can throw around two balls in virtual reality or something.
Hey, do you want to go look at this 3D model from over there?
Yeah. Hey, you want to be Batman, but only for like an hour and a half?
You want to be Batman, but you got places to be? Yeah. You're going to be busy later?
I loved that Arkham VR game. It was so fun, but it's like you get really into it and then it's over. But this game looks cool. I mean, it looks very much like a Jason Statham action movie, but it's all in VR.
And now, are we just saying Jason Statham because it's primarily British?
Probably.
But it also looks...
He's the best known British action man.
That's true.
But it looks... You could put it side to side with that trailer for, what is it, Hobbs and Shaw.
And it does look just like Hobbs and Shaw. Yeah. It's true. God, that movie looks good. I mean, it looks terrible, but I can't wait for it. Now, that's a good bad movie.
Exactly. Fun garbage.
I will gladly pay money to see that in theaters because you're just going to laugh.
Blood and Truth will be the Hobbs and Shaw of VR games, and that's cool with me.
I like it. So there was also a Five Nights at Freddy's VR. Now, Five Nights at Freddy's is a game that I haven't heard the name of in at least a year.
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet on that front.
Yeah, it's been about time for another journey into that personal nightmare. And the games are basically played like VR already.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense to
throw you into that.
Yeah, mess. Literally make it a VR game.
Yeah, so for the folks who don't know what that is... It's basically you're at a Chuck E. Cheese working security, and the animatronics are creepy and coming to life.
Yeah, they come to life at night and try to eat you or something.
Yeah. Pretty spooky. A lot of jump scares.
Oh, it's almost all jump scares, and it gets me almost every time.
Yeah, same here. Same here. Can't wait to see a bunch of YouTubers try to play that game in VR, because not only are they going to be screaming and looking like idiots, they're going to have that stupid thing on their head. It's going
to
be great.
They won't need to overreact as much.
They won't.
Because it will feel real.
Oh, they'll overreact. Have you seen Markiplier try to play these games?
But this is a great idea that I'm surprised they didn't do a long time ago.
Yeah, same here.
And it looks like Scott Cawthorn, the guy that makes these, is actually letting another company help him with it, too. So it's about time he did that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he's kept it a one-man show this long.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty impressive. Concrete Genie. Now, they showed some of this at E3 last year, if I remember correctly.
I really don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm really on the fence about it because it looks like a kind of a parkour adventure where you're also drawing monsters on the walls that come to life.
Yeah.
So, like, kind of like Link Between Worlds?
A little bit, but it also looks incredibly sad.
Yeah, the whole trailer is just this kid getting harassed by bullies and then drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you don't need to mirror my life exactly. It didn't really let you in on what the actual gameplay loop of it is.
I'm worried that they don't know what the gameplay loop of it is.
That might be, yeah. That
they just have they're like, hey, we have all these like areas and we have the mechanics. Let's just slap something together. Let's draw some things on a wall and...
It has a very nice art style. It looks like a Leica film, stop motion film is what that looks like what they're going for.
It does, but I'm concerned that they're going to be walking a fine line between
using a low frame rate to mimic stop motion animation and having it just look choppy and bad. Have it look like Battle for the Grid. Also, the mouths. I don't like the mouth flap in it.
Because it is just a solid texture, flat texture changing. It doesn't have the depth of a... It's nice to see Sony doing something that's just not, hey, let's do it photorealistic.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, it actually has style to it.
Yeah. But hey, speaking of photorealistic, Mortal Kombat 11 kind of rounded out the end of the trailer, State of Play, whatever.
The Sony Direct.
PlayStation Direct. But it was a full story mode trailer, basically, and
revealed a couple new characters.
Revealed Jax, Liu Kang, and Kung Lao.
The least surprising characters to appear in a Mortal Kombat game.
Liu Kang wasn't playable in Mortal Kombat 10.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, he was in story mode, but he wasn't playable
because he was the bad guy.
He became the bad guy. Yeah, no. Canonically, the hero of Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 died and became a evil zombie about halfway through the series.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's because Ed Boon shifted his focus. He started to really hate Liu Kang because he was boring and liked Johnny Cage and Scorpion. So he made Johnny Cage and Scorpion the heroes of
honestly,
the game.
Honestly, Johnny Cage and Scorpion are way cooler.
They are way cooler. Yeah. Sure. Not only are they more visually interesting, they are just better concepts for characters. Anyway, it looks like the it's going to have a really robust story mode, which... At this point, that is what I enjoy out of Mortal Kombat games.
Yeah. It's what they do the best, honestly.
They really
do. Not that the story's good.
It's not good, but it's hokey.
But it's fun.
It's the Hobbs and Shaw of fighting games.
Although, there's no fighting games that have a story that's really good. It's all hokey.
They're all hokey bad, but at least Mortal Kombat 11 knows that it's hokey and bad, and they're willing to make fun of themselves, kind of. They're willing to go, okay, this kind of sucks, so let's just be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Whereas the attempt at the story mode in Street Fighter V was boring.
Yeah. Well, these have fully acted and animated mocap cutscenes where Street Fighter's like, hey, it's a visual novel between fights.
The only thing that I am concerned about with the Mortal Kombat 11 story mode is we're going to have to see extended scenes of Ronda Rousey acting because she is playing Sonya Blade. And if there's one thing that I've learned from the little bit of wrestling that I've watched on Twitter is that Ronda Rousey doesn't know how to act and doesn't understand how to get herself into the fantasy of the situation. Like, her whole character arc in WWE is that she doesn't believe in all of the fake BS and will, actually attack the actor and not the character they are playing on stage.
Wow.
So I'm half expecting Sonya Blade to, halfway through the game, look at the player and go, you understand that this is fake, right?
I'm Ronda Rousey. I mean Sonya Blade.
No, they just start calling her Ronda halfway through the game.
Ronda Blade.
Ronda Blade.
It's such a dumb stunt casting for something that doesn't need stunt casting. It's a video game.
Now, they did stunt cast Shang Tsung as the guy from the Mortal Kombat movies, Hiroyuki Takawa, which is great. He's a really good actor, and that is fun stunt casting. Also, the guy's not doing much.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Also, the other thing, Ronda Rousey's not going to put controllers in hands.
No.
Nobody's going to be like, oh, now that Ronda Rousey's in that, I want to play it. No, yeah, nobody's going to think that.
No. Like, I can't think of an actual actor who could... You know what? Yes, I can. If they would have made Terry Crews Jax.
Yeah.
That would have put controllers in hands.
Yeah, it would have been good stunt casting for Mortal Kombat.
That would have been really, really good stunt casting. I mean, I can't think.
I'm going to miss Ashley Burch as Cassie Cage. She's not Cassie Cage anymore, I don't believe.
She's not. No, nope. They got someone else for that.
She's too busy being Enid and that dog sled racer from that indie game we talked about the other day.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, there was more stuff, the PlayStation Direct, but we're actually out of time. So we actually have to need to wrap the show up and get out of here. So you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can follow us on all kinds of social media things. This is Josh's part.
This is Josh's part.
Yeah, Nerd Overload Now on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. Check it out.
And Twitch, which we've been using.
Yes.
Hey, check out the Twitch.
And speaking of places having content, we have a YouTube channel, Nerd YouTube Overload TV.
Channel.
You can watch the archives. Twitch streams on there.
Very active. Been doing stuff.
Yeah, watch Sam play the Zelda game we're going to talk about here on a podcast soon.
Soon, yep, sooner rather than later. And you know what? Not only is it fun to watch me play the video games, or at least put me on in the background and use me as background noise, but you can slowly watch as I learn, teach myself how to video edit, because each video gets a little bit better. Like, I taught myself how to make end cards the other day.
Nice.
So, the last two videos have end cards on them. Surprise! So yeah, you can also find our podcast on all sorts of different places online, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, just about anywhere else you can find a radio show, you can find our show. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now.
Chip in $5, get the show early. Yeah, we want to thank our news hound, Parker.
Yeah, yeah.
For giving us things to talk about the past couple weeks. He's really helped us out.
He's really been helping out with the news. We really appreciate it. And if you ever have any news that you want to share, send us an email, shoot us a message on Facebook. Usually the best ways to get a hold of us. And yeah, I think that pretty well wraps everything up. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back next week.
Pizza out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.